I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where the Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
And now, two guys who've had enough of this shit. Chris and the Riz.
Hey, hello, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 526. Detroit Lions news and mock draft. Donkey Kong starts out as he usually does, Super Bowl or bust. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashingest of dashing hosts, Chris. And with me is my good friend and co-host and frequently... the tan is missing. We'll talk about that, Riz. Jeff, the Riz Risen. How you doing, brother?
You cannot see where the sunburn is, nor will you, but
at least not on camera.
It's great to be back and doing a live show. It's been way too long since we were able to coordinate our schedules and get this done. So I'm very happy that we're here together and with you all watching live on YouTube. Hopefully you hit the, you say have liked and subscribed so you know you get the notification that we're going live, because that's what you need to do.
Yes, sir. God, you're getting good at this, Riz. You're a pro, brother.
I try.
Oh, man. We got a good show today. We're going to do our warm-ups like we usually do. Well, while everyone gathers quickly, we're going to do a Brock Wright breakdown. We're going to talk about him. Key Lions player extensions. Talk about some of those. And we're going to walk through Risen's latest mock draft, his thinking on that. Why? What? When? Where? How? Well, the when's easy. We got all that and a whole lot more.
Why I made a second-round pick that I hate.
I can't wait to talk about your first-round pick, dude. All the blood rushed out of my head. We got a great show lined up. Riz, are you ready to go, my man?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right. Say something smart, Riz. I might repeat you, says Tim. Oh man, love it. All right, let's get to this. We've got warm-ups while we all gather, quick conversations. First, we're going to go through key dates. There's some new dates since we last talked about this, and we'll go over these really quick. First foremost, April 15th, the Detroit Lions offseason program begins. No media access as they kick off this early offseason program.
That's right. Yep. It happens. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. It's 2 days of guys walking around and basically like getting reacquainted with the trainers. They don't actually do much football stuff. So
it's all football stuff, man. It's the guys. It's the guys at Allen Park, and that's all that matters.
It is. By the way, those are optional, so if you see that people aren't there, they can't force them to be there.
Panic. Don Burr is back. How you doing, Don? Good to see you, brother. April 25th to 27th, you may have heard there's going to be a draft, an NFL draft, and I have regretfully have to inform folks that we will not be having a draft party. It is absolutely unfortunate. The world of demands has crashed around me. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about all the crazy stuff. But my mom's in rehab and my dad had surgery, and it's just, I'm not going to be able to make it all work. I apologize for everybody, but it's just not going to happen this time. So we'll do a draft show like we do every year, but we're just not doing the private party. Had some really good stuff. We'll leverage the venue, though. It's pretty sweet.
The venue in the future,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
But yeah, so for those of you who are in Michigan and are not going to go to the Lions draft party, which, by the way, is going to be pretty cool. Like, I would suggest people go to that if you can. If you're not, pretty good chance I will be hanging out with Huge and the Huge Show draft party with my good friend David DeGregory, who's an agent who's got a couple players in this draft that
DDG.
So check, listen to the Huge Show for details on that, because I plan on being with them at least Thursday. And then Friday and Saturday, I will be in downtown Detroit. I am credentialed for the draft. We did get all that taken care of. So I'll be wandering around. Actually, on Saturday, I really enjoy like putting the credential in my back pocket, walking around and being with people and hanging out and watching a little bit. Logistically, if that works, I will do that. But yeah, it's going to be a great time. And again, it's coming up today. It's what, the 6th? I've been on vacation, so I don't know what the... It's Saturday the 6th.
It is.
We got 21 days from right now is my favorite day of the year. Day 3 of the NFL draft is my favorite day of the year, both professionally and personally, because there is nothing better than watching the guys in the late rounds who get drafted, because those of us who do our draft homework, that's our favorite day. That's our day to shine. There's a ton of people that can tell you about the top 50 or so draft picks. When you're getting to the Willie Drews of the world and MJ Devonshires of the world, there's going to be a lot of people that are like, okay, uh-huh. And
stump the track.
I take pride in knowing that stuff. Russell Brown takes a lot of pride in knowing that stuff. We actually were talking about Willie Drew this morning amongst ourselves. Guys like Emery Hunt will certainly have a great following at that time. And we're going to try to get Emery on again before the draft and also after the draft. Break yes. some things down. Got a couple other people that will be looking to join, whether it's just me doing like a solo interview with them on the side, or if they can make it work with Chris and our schedules being as crazy as they are to get us all three together. I've got a couple people that have expressed interest in breaking down Lions draft picks after the draft, so we're going to make that happen too.
Yeah, and we'll have, remember, if you remember Braddock Martin last year, we're going to do something again with one of the picks this year, so stay tuned and keep an eye out. Okay, the NFL draft, 25th through the 27th, we got that, and then I'm flying out right after that. May 2nd, deadline to exercise the fifth-year option on contracts for 2021 first-round draft picks. 21st,
that's 23rd
of May, yes, 21st to 23rd of May, OTAs, 29th through the 31st of May, OTAs, June 4th through 6th is the mandatory minicamp, and June 10th to 12th is OTAs. After that is what is absolutely and horribly, terribly known as the dead zone, and nothing except bad news happens in that period until about the three quarters of the way through July.
Yeah, July, we don't know the exact training camp schedule. It usually starts towards the middle of the penultimate week. So, like, let's say July 31st is on a Wednesday. It would start, like, the previous Thursday or something like that. Last year, I think it started on the 27th, and it goes through September, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. We don't have the pretty schedule. The NFL making a schedule... Scheduling out their schedule reveal is still one of the most baffling things that I've ever seen in the world. And they get ratings for it, too, believe it or not. So we'll find out in due time. But, yeah, the offseason, we are set. And I will be at nearly all of the offseason stuff after the one that's coming up in 9 days. So it's going to be fun. I've reestablished my home base on the east side of the state. So I have a place to be where I can get in there. And it's going to be fun. Good off season.
Really quick, just got to give a shout out, Ryan. Ryan N, thanks, brother. Dropping a super chat, jumping off. I'll enjoy you two coming into my ear holes later. Indeed, you will.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good stuff. Flying. We've got to talk about flying. I'm already platinum for 2025 on Delta. I've 21 hotel nights already this year. It's crazy. That's just that one brand. Anyway, yeah, a lot of flying. Riz just flew into and out of Cancun. He had a nice little break. It's been nuts trying to get us together. We were able to pull that one Saturday off. So now we're back again.
So speaking of the flying, perfect experience on United, both to and from. We flew out of O'Hare. We drove to O'Hare and flew out of there. But great experience from United.
Interesting. Good to hear.
It was good. Good. Very nice. Always flying nonstop if you can.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Thanks for the tip. Oh, man. Okay. So the flying reference, though, is not in reference to us being not here. It is one of the funniest stories I've heard strategically, just little 4D chess kind of stuff. Evidently, and I don't know if this is true, but it's fun to talk about anyway. Evidently, it's been reported that the Lions bought DJ Reader a one-way ticket into town and not a round trip. So I guess it's a one-stop.
You want to leave, it's on you.
You better have a contract to buy that
ticket.
Like it. A lot of fun.
I like it.
A lot of good stuff. Chris prefers Delta. I am stuck with Delta, Ben. It's funny because there's three places that I go to pretty generally, and then another one sometimes. And I was like, if I can find an airline that will take me to two of those nonstop, I will absolutely line up and put all my status and everything on that line. Nope. Tampa's the best airport in the nation. I'll stand by that statement, but getting, it's just a mid-sized airport. You don't, it's not like a hub, you know what I mean? So you don't get all those direct flights. I'd have to go to Orlando, which it's two-hour drive down the most deadly highway in America. That's just not worth it. It's whatever. It is what it is. But yeah, I'm kind of a Delta guy.
I-4 is fun.
once a month somebody gets arrested for driving the wrong way and get caused in accidents and stuff. It's insane. All right, really quick, let's give a thanks to our latest subscriber, Michael Beach. Thank you, sir, for doing it. Please hit the like and the subscribe and all that stuff. Let's get into it now. We got the warm-ups over. Let's get into the Detroit Lions topics. Brock Wright staying on as a Detroit Lion. Love this because, again, it gives us so much flexibility in the draft. And I know cornerback is still a point of need for the Lions, for sure. They have a lot of places that they could upgrade for sure, but not leaving a hole at tight end that they have to take care of is very, very, very helpful, Riz. And Brock is back. They matched and I want to talk about this a little because they matched what the Niners offered him and they took a long time to do it. And the amount of time they took, people were like, oh, we can just match him. Oh, they're not going to match him. I hope they do. Oh, he's going to be gone. Oh, he's out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they matched it. Right. So talk through the process for us, Riz. What is this? What's this whole funky free agent thing where matching contracts and stuff?
So Brock Wright was a restricted free agent, which means that the Lions had the right of first refusal. So he was able to go out on his own and seek a contract from another team as a general free agent. But with the knowledge that the Lions can match it. Not many of those guys every year get an offer. And very few of them who do get signed don't get matched. And again, it's extremely uncommon to lose somebody that way. Maybe one every 2 years around the league happens. Now, the other thing with the restricted free agent is because Brock Wright was undrafted, the Lions wouldn't get anything if they let him go. Now, if he was Broderick Martin as a third-round pick 2 years from now and is a restricted free agent and the Lions put the original round tender on him and somebody offers him money to go away as a restricted free agent and the Lions don't match, they'd get a third-round pick from that team. But that wasn't the case here. They were just going to lose Brock Wright, gone. Like, no compensatory pick, nothing consideration. So
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm happy that Brock Wright is back. I like him as a player, and I think that he serves a need, and I'm with you on that. I don't like the fact that they matched the contract, in general, on principle. I don't. And maybe it was because I had just watched Tropic Thunder, but I was immediately thought of Les Grossman. We don't negotiate with terrorists. And what a restricted free agent offer is a form of NFL economic terrorism. You have allowed another team to dictate to you whether you can play this player or not and what you're going to pay them. Now, yes, it's free market, and the free market capitalist in me really likes that. But, like, now, what's to stop the 49ers or the Eagles or the Cowboys? Or another, well, the Cowboys won't do it because they're wussies and don't do anything in the offseason. God, if we were Cowboys, Dallas Cowboys podcast, like, we would be going crazy on this team right now. They have fallen off a freaking cliff this offseason, and that's good for Detroit. But what's to stop another team now from jacking up the price on a guy like Brock Wright? Like, they're paying the Lions. So I have the contract in front of me here, or at least from over the cap. It's a 3-year, $12 million offer sheet with $6.05 million guaranteed. $4.6 million is guaranteed. There are three void years on this. So basically, the San Francisco 49ers jacked up the price for Brock Wright more than what the Lions were going to have to pay him. What's to stop teams from doing this all the time now with your restricted free agents? Because you have shown them that you will acquiesce, that you will match it. Like, that's not good. That's why you don't negotiate with terrorists in the first place. You know, we don't negotiate for hostages because that encourages them taking more. That's where I'm coming from on why I don't want them to match these sorts of offers. I think that's bad long-term business. Even if it does mean that we do get Brock Wright, and I like Brock Wright. I'm glad that he's back, but I don't like the process of matching that. I think that sets a bad precedent. Now other teams are going to know, oh, we can give this guy a ridiculous offer, and they'll match it. And if they don't,
I get what you're saying. I don't think they overpaid for Brock. I don't think they do either. That's one thing Brad's good about. So yeah. I think they feel that that's a good number. Also, if you make that crazy offer as a team, you might have to eat that. So you have to be prepared to pay that money.
That's right? The side of it. Yeah. You do have to be willing to eat it if you want them. And, you know, it's been interesting to see the reaction from a lot of Lions fans. And keep in mind, I was on vacation, so I'm just getting caught up with this in the last like 12 to 16 hours going through it. A lot of people are like, Brock Wright's not good. Like, why'd we pay for him? Like, I think he's worth $4 million a year. He's your number two tight end. He's capable of doing some things.
He was clutch a couple times. He was right. Absolutely yeah, clutch you, this
you
year.
You don't have to train somebody new to learn this position. And he's earned Jared Goff's trust. He's earned Ben Johnson's trust.
He's not Sam LaPorta. Right. And you don't need him to be. He's a great blocker. He's caught the ball. He's made some key plays to bail the team out of third and longs. He's done some really good work. And I got this sense that he's only going to be better with time in this system, with this team, with Jared, the whole thing. I think like a draft pick is number one. It's a little bit of a lottery ticket because you're not certain these guys are going to work out, though Brad's really good at it. But the other side of it is, the Bob Quinn school of building a team is let good guys go, replace them with worse guys at a higher cost, right? And it just didn't work. It just didn't work. And in this case, why say, oh, we're going to let him go for a price that's fair, actually, for a number two tight end, and then say, now we're going to have to use a draft pick or some other means to pick up a tight end that's probably not going to be as good. It doesn't make any sense. Lock it up. It's not like we're hurting for, it's hurting for cap money. Boy, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
it's not like we're hurting for cap money. We're in a good position financially. I think this was a great move for a solid player on this team who's a good part and a good locker room fit too.
Yeah, and that part of it I completely agree with, but I don't like the precedent of letting other teams know that you will match these offers and that's you're opening yourself up to some future risk on that. And I'm sure that Brad and Brandon Sosa, Mike Disner, Dan Campbell, everybody like understands that process, that's what they're doing. They're comfortable doing that. So
yep.
I don't know. It's something about it just rubs me the wrong way. Nothing against Brock Wright. I'm glad that he's back.
You don't like the practice rather than the play. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So that's the process. We've got Brock Wright. I feel pretty solid as a team at tight end. I feel solid at a lot of places. But I want to talk about
the contract now. Like this is, again, three void years on a 3-year extension for your number two tight end. That's, you're pushing a whole lot of dead money forward, and I know it's working now, but
let me just,
crazy about that either.
I have to use some of the insider access. I have a direct quote of what Brad Holmes said to the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh.
Back the fuck up out my face, goddammit. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Don't play with me.
Oh, my God.
If you know, you know. If you know, you know that video.
Wow. Amen. Somebody used to send it to Troy Weaver.
Oh, my God. That's my favorite video I've seen in freaking ages. Oh, God. Anyway, so we got Brock. Brad backed Lynch up from the Niners, got our guy, and we rolled with it. I don't know. Yeah, that's my favorite video ever. Like,
Look at the tight end room, though. It's back. Laporta, number one. Brock Wright, number two. James Mitchell, number three, with the potential to bump up into the steal some reps at number two from Brock Wright. And he's not there yet. Like, that was one of the things that we were looking at collectively as a Lions fandom was, is James Mitchell ready to be the number two tight end? Have we seen enough from that? I don't know. Maybe.
So,
but now we don't have to find out.
He's a guy with all kinds of ceiling, though. Zylstra's back as your number four. Right. I mean, yeah. And Mitchell, he could be like right now because he was injured. Right. And he had, now he's gotten some time. He's coming back healthy. Now there's a real opportunity for him to show out what we picked up and why we picked him up. Cause nobody's really seen the James Mitchell that the Lions saw when they picked him up. He's just not had the opportunity and the health to be able to do that. He could roll in. I mean, I really love our tight end room. I think there's all kinds of upside in this group. And Brock Wright, someone said it in the chat. He's Dan Campbell 2.0. Wilson said it. He's Dan Campbell 2.0. That's the kind of guy he is. He's a total grit guy. And you know what? I love to have Dan Campbell as my lock-in tight end too. And if Mitchell steps up or Zylstra suddenly becomes something like Superman, great. Absolutely fantastic, right? I'll set me up with a three tight end set. Let's go. You know, I don't care. It's a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of good stuff that can come out of this, man. So, whew.
And now you don't have to draft one, and now you can sign my guy Mason Plyne as an undrafted free agent afterwards, and I will be super happy.
Oh, nice.
Furman tight end who started out as a Ferris State basketball player. He's a guy that if you want to go deep on people, bring up the name Mason Plyne and see if they're like, huh? Yeah.
Really quick.
Good potential.
Jesse Miller. I've watched and listened to the DLP so many times that my dog recognizes your voices. Yeah. Come on, boy. It's dinner time. Let's go eat, boy. Come on. Got some havoc in the house. Who wants to go for a walk? Let's go outside.
Walk. Oh, yeah.
Who's a good boy?
It's very nice outside here. I'm pleasantly happy because last year when I got home from spring break, we had an ice storm. Today I'm looking out my window, and again, it's Saturday the 6th, and it's like 54 degrees, and there's not a cloud in the sky, and it's fairly still. Nice spring day.
Jeff throwing back to the meteorological roots there in college.
I cannot escape it. All right. Where I was on Wednesday, after a 3-hour bus ride, we got out and the heat index was 100, feels like 111. And it was legit.
We were out by a fire last night.
Instantly started sweating.
Out by a fire last night on the back patio. I know this is going to trigger you a little bit, but some of the Wet Willies mix from the Senior Bowl. pulled that out, made myself some shock treatments. Oh, it's delicious. Like, and I got these color changing cups, so it's the blue stuff, and now then I got the blue changing cup. I was fully lionsed up and ready to go. Jesse's gonna go on a walk. This dog, that's great. All right, let's get to the next topic. Key Detroit Lions player extensions, or the lack thereof. What should we do? Should we panic? Should we worry? Riz, let's buckle up, man. This is scary stuff. Like, the team's about to fall apart. I don't know what to do. My hands are... Look, here's the thing. We'll start with Jared Goff. Unsigned. No news on his contract yet in New York. They're chanting Jared Goff at Met Stadium. Does this portend a trade? Could this be the end of Jared Goff's time in Detroit? I don't have dramatic music.
You've been hanging out with aggregators, Chris.
I need to start a blog.
Those people are...
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with Goff. We haven't signed him. Obviously, we want to sign him because we want to continue to chant Jared Goff. We want to continue to win in the playoffs. Should we be worried, Riz, that Goff hasn't been signed yet?
No.
So yes.
Not one bit.
If you say no, it means yes. Why not, Riz?
He's under contract through next year. The only reason I would have an impetus if I'm Jared Goff to get it done is so I don't have to worry about like getting hurt and letting it all go away. That's literally the only reason, because if his contract expires after next season, the Lions can franchise tag him for another year. Well, that's not a bad thing if you're Jared Goff. That means you're getting $55 million in cash up front, fully guaranteed. You're not getting that in your contract. Yeah. Like, you might want that instead of a long-term contract if you believe in yourself and believe in the organization's dedication to you. Kirk Cousins proved that you can do things like that. And that's your Dallas. Go back to being the Dallas Cowboys podcast for a second. They're thinking the same thing with Dak Prescott. Like, if we don't sign him, we can franchise tag him for a year, and he'll probably be happy getting that $55, $57 million for that year. And then we can get his ass out of here because we're not winning with him.
Right. Like,
the Lions don't have that problem because they're winning with Jared Goff. Like, I struggle to see the impetus for Goff to demand a long-term contract because he won't get that much money per year in a long-term contract as what he would get from what he's earning this year and what he would get from the franchise tag next year. That would be, he's getting what, 31 this year?
Yeah.
So 31, 55, that's like $85, $86 million over 2 years. That's $43 million a year for the Lions. Like, is he going to get that? Maybe. Probably. Maybe. You don't know. Like,
yeah, he'll get that.
From the Goff standpoint, there's no reason for him to sign right now unless he really wants to.
I believe Jared Goff wants to stay in Detroit. I believe Jared Goff. Strictly, I'm reading this through Kristen Harper, right? So this is speculation purely, right? But the love that he's felt and beating the Rams for him, I don't care what he says, has got to be an absolute high point in his life.
Right.
And I say that the man's marrying Kristen Harper, right? Let's be straight. That's pretty freaking up there too. But that has to be, at least professionally, the best thing that's happened, because he was thrown aside, cast aside like garbage, and he beat the guy that he was cast aside for and in the playoffs and moved on. It was something very, very special for him. I think that he is very much married to Detroit, and like Kristen's thing on Instagram, it's still, I'll never forget it. She, after the playoff win, she said it was always Detroit. It was like, that's what it was. Like, we didn't know, but it was always Detroit. He loves it here. He loves the people he's playing with. He's loves the people he's playing for, and they believe in him and have built around him. I think that he recognizes, especially after everything he's been through, how good he has it. I believe, and I say this also knowing that he's a freaking incredible businessman. Right. And most people don't know about that and haven't heard about it, but he's an incredible, he's got investments outside football that are pretty freaking incredible. Real estate, like, just, it's nuts. He's just quietly raking in the dollars. I think the happy, I mean, we talked about it with Ben, right? Some people just don't want to be a head coach. Some people don't want to be CEO of the company, right? It's just, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, but everybody thinks you have to because it's the money. And then, you know, all the stuff that comes with it is that you don't realize the baggage. You just look at the money, people, especially, you know, Joe six pack making 80 grand a year, right? If I could make $10 million more, of course I would, right? Well, for these guys, it's a little bit different, and where they're at is different. And even people, even people in the world, right? Just in whatever role, sometimes the responsibility or the taking somebody out of their comfort zone just isn't worth it. I think Jared Goff is a guy that really loves where he's at, appreciates how much he's valued by fans here. He didn't get that in LA. I mean, he was Jared Goff. He got LA fans, right? Which is different than what he's got in Detroit. I think, again, I'll say this, and I don't think it's going to be crazy, but I think we're going to get a bit of discount on Jared Goff. I really genuinely do, because he's not in any way trying to make his grab for the last bag of money that he's got a shot at, because he's got business. He is well invested for the long term beyond football. He is in great, great shape. Now, nobody walks away from money, but I don't think he's going to create a hostage situation or break the team, because I think he likes winning. And I think he doesn't want to break this boat and rock this boat to a point where it causes those kinds of problems. And I think we're going to get Goff. I think we're going to get him at a fair price, not a massive discount. I just think a fair price. He's not going to break the bank, and they're going to be able to continue to keep this thing moving. We'll see. I could be wrong, right? But just based on all the other things around there, if I'm speculating and trying to put the puzzle together, that's where I land in Goff. And that's why I'm not worried about this contract. Let's see what we're paying the rookies, right? Let's see what the money looks like, and then we can start playing with it with the guys that deserve the money, that like a Jared Goff, and or that by positionally are going to get the money too, right? Let's see what that looks like, and then they can start working out. I think Brad, he's from Detroit, Michigan, motherfucker. I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's going to be just fine and figure out the right thing with Goff.
Yeah,
that's my
rant. That's one again. There's not urgency on either side to get a deal done there.
Yeah.
Panay Sewell is the one that we probably need to talk about, because you brought it up earlier with the fifth-year option. That's what, May 2nd they have to have that decided by? So that's a soft deadline. Like, you don't have to – like, you're free to extend him after that. Like, you can sign to a contract extension at any point. They can do it now. They can do it in June. But that, if you get it done before that fifth-year deadline, that's kind of optimal. Because then you're like, oh, we didn't have to worry about the fifth-year option. We loved you that much that we're extending you. And that, like, we love, you know. And the contracts keep going up. If you saw this week, one of the few times that it poked my head up was to see that Jordan Mailata signed a contract that was 72% fully guaranteed. That's the trend. 3 years, 72% guaranteed. The comp of choice is 3 years at 80% guaranteed. You're looking at Panay signing for 3 years, $90 million with $75 million guaranteed. No, that's fine. You're budgeted for that. That's one of the reasons why they have that money out there, but. Yeah. That's when I would like to see them get done sooner than later. I would like them to get that done before that semi-artificial deadline. We all know Panay's not going anywhere. Even if they don't pick up the fifth-year option, like that just means that you have control of it for 1 year at that contract value, which, by the way, is a big balloon payment. Like, there's nothing that says that you can decline the fifth-year option and then sign the guy. The Browns are there with Baker Mayfield, then they traded him. The Titans are there with Jack Conklin, and then signed him to more than he would have made than he would have gotten on the fifth year option. So you can do that too. So it's not like this, like, oh my God, we have to decide on the future of Panay Sewell by May 2nd. That's not the case. But it would be nice if they did. Then we don't have to have those discussions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just housekeeping we don't have to worry about, right?
And it's going to be very heavily guaranteed. And I mean, if they put three void years on Brock Wright's deal to spread it out, like, I legitimately don't know how many void years you can put on a deal, but I kind of imagine that if you're paying a guy $30 million a year over, let's say, 3 years, $30 million, and you guarantee $75 million with probably $40 million of that a signing bonus, like, that's a lot of cap money to eat in 3 years.
Yep.
You put five void years on that? Like, I don't know, man. knowing the Lions, knowing the way that Mike Disner likes to operate with the void years, it's not absurd. Crazy.
Let's see. Jordy, he's got Panay at 10 years, $240 million. Sign him up to the rest of his career. I think that's a fun idea to do what the Chiefs did with Mahomes with your
with Mahomes. But by the way, they've already renegotiated with Mahomes twice.
Yeah. Now. Still though,
I mean, going to the bank of Mahomes, as our friend Pat Kerwin calls it.
Oh God, we missed him this year. He is so fun.
The Saints did that with Drew Brees when they signed him to that. I think it was an 8-year deal. And every season they went to him and like, hey, let's guarantee another $5 million of this so we have some money to actually get people around you.
Yeah.
It's going to the bank of Bank of Breeze.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Asking about, do you think Amon-Ra could be traded? What about Decker trade rumors? I'm just going to tell you trade rumors right now. I wouldn't just pack them down. Just don't worry.
This is news to me. There's trade rumors.
Like I'm imagining the old 70s radio in the car where you just push the button to change the station, The second you start hearing about that, it's unless somebody's reporting it as done right now. I don't see any of that in the cards, to be honest. I could be wrong, but I wouldn't even entertain the thought.
I would be flabbergasted if they're flabbergasted. So this could be one of the situations. Again, Chris, I tell the story a lot, but it's worth repeating. Senior Bowl 2009. I sit down, sitting behind Bill Belichick. Sean Payton comes up to him and says, "Hey, what do you want for Brady?" And again, I can say I could accurately report that the Saints were talking to the Patriots about a deal for Tom Brady, and I would not be semantically incorrect. But was that what they were doing? Hell no, that was not what they were doing. It was an icebreaker.
Factually incorrect.
They both laughed.
Right. You wouldn't be factually incorrect.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
It was an icebreaker. It was a joke. And they both knew that it was a joke.
Yeah.
And it proceeded to contact it from there. And they unfortunately moved down away so I couldn't hear more of the conversation. But that's that, like, yeah, people will call, like, hey, what do you want for Amon-Ra? Like, 8 first rounders and 2 starting corners. Like, I mean, I have heard zero about any of that. Now, again, I was in Mexico for a week, so maybe weird things are happening behind the scenes that I don't know about. Could be. I'm not the least bit concerned about any sort of trade like that.
No.
The Lions are buyers. They are net buyers right now. They're not net sellers.
Yep. They're pushing this team to the next level. And selling off your key assets is not what you do when you're doing that. We've acquired these assets. I mean, now the Bob Quinn model would say that absolutely we would trade these guys for higher cost, lower quality players. That's not who Brad Holmes is. And don't make me have him tell you he's from Detroit again. Because I'll do it.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that there are people who would believe that Amon-Ra St. Brown is getting traded. I don't get that.
I got to do it.
I don't
understand. Get the fuck up out my face, goddammit. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Don't play with me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, aggregators do wind up saying some crazy things out of some construences of things. But my God,
I want him to say, I'm gonna deep fake Brad Holmes with that voice.
God. Oh boy.
I'm not Brad, please. Hey, don't sue me.
Yeah. If anything, the Lions would be looking to bring in talent, not export talent.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, and yeah, again, they can call and they can talk. The Lions and the Browns talked about a Greg Newsome trade. Didn't go anywhere. That kind of stuff happens all the time. I think most fans, I will say this. Once I started learning how often those sorts of things happened, I was shocked. And I had been in the business for a while. Like, oh, wow, really? Like, I learned about these things later on, like just in passing or like at dinner in a training camp. It's like, wow, really? Like, I wouldn't believe that if I didn't know that you were telling me the truth. And like, yeah, but obviously it didn't go anywhere, but we talked. Like, so remember that. But like Chris said, like think be rational about it. Remember the status of your team and the mantra of trust in Brad, because that's gotten us pretty dang far right now. And yeah. there's no reason to think that they're gonna like build it up to tear it down. Like they started it to tear it down. They're building up.
This is something that Lions fans, a little bit of here's your counseling for today. Okay. A lot of Lions fans have some learned helplessness issues, and they've been well built over the years as fans of this team. But now let those things go. Let it go. This team is not going to do those kinds of crazy, silly moves. After Brad's gone, you might see some, who knows what the next GM is going to be, but this regime has, like, people talk about, hey, they've earned our trust. They really have. They really genuinely have made move after move after move. And, I mean, I think back to what's his name? I don't even remember his name. The tight end that we traded to Minnesota, TJ Hockenson.
TJ Hockenson.
Arms flailing in the air. Good and player. I remember I was telling people he was checked out. He was not like he wasn't practicing. He wasn't. And everyone's like, ah! And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, this kind of worked out. And he wasn't all that.
Didn't we turn Brad him into Kirby Joseph, Cook. Chris?
We did. Let Brad cook. He's doing fine. Don't worry about like people always used to be able to put stuff like that out there, right? Ah, they're trading Matthew Stafford. Oh well, that one didn't work out. But it did work out. But that one was real. But like, but there was all these crazy rumors that were going on back in the day, and they knew they could trigger Lions fans. They knew that
every offseason, we're trading Calvin Johnson to the Raiders this year, or last year was the Falcons, or the year before that it was the Cowboys.
Yeah, like, yeah,
never happened.
And that's the thing, man. This is like this is all based. The whole internet is based on selling you ads anymore. If you haven't noticed, every platform, everything, it's the shitification, but everything is about putting an ad in front of you. It's unfortunate, but that's it. So if they want to put more ads in front of more eyes, how do we get people to look at stuff, right? That's the whole concept of clickbait. So let's write triggering things. And who's very triggering, triggerable audience? Detroit Lions fans always have been, right? Let that go. Don't buy into the silliness anymore. Don't get rid of learned helplessness. Man up, sack up, be bold. Brad's bold. He walks around with a villain sweatshirt on. Right? Embody that mentality and go. You were in the NFC championship game and you had a chance to win. Your team did as fans. Be proud to be a fan. Stand up. Don't wait for the sky to fall because it ain't falling. Brad will not let the sky fall on this team. Oh, there it is. That's the one. Shortlandspodcast.com.
Shelf my sunburn
merch or stores. Great t-shirt. All right, there we go. Okay, so there we go. Let's get to the next piece that we have this guy named Jefe Rizdon. He spells it G-E-O-F-F. I don't know what's wrong with this guy, why he spells it.
Strain my neck.
Oh man,
going on IR. Oh man,
there it's you like, go. Pre-seasons and injuries are a real thing. Let's get to this. We got
the massage gun.
You can get a lot of the detail written out on Lions Wire, but Riz put out yesterday a great mock draft. And let me just give you some of the rules here, right? These are the picks that Riz, this guy who spells it G-E-O-F-F, he thinks Brad Holmes and Lions are going to do with these picks. It's not what he would do. There's no trades. Okay, so the Lions don't have a fourth round pick, but they do have their 2 sixths. And it was an idea of trying to stay realistic with availability. He spells it J-E-F-F. You used a bunch of big boards and kind of consensus boards to build out who was going to be gone and who was available to come up with who you would pick in that space. So let's get into it. I love this. It's that time of year. We'll reiterate. Emery's coming on, and we're going to shoot for this week to get him on. And we're going to go over his draft guide. If you haven't gotten it, it's fantastic. As always, the research is there. He's the one that made everybody's brain blow up last year about Jahmyr Gibbs and And that guy that Atlanta's got running the ball, whoever he is. and boy.
Bijan, he's pretty good too.
he's not Jameer. and nobody saw it coming except Emery. It was really, really good. I don't want to say nobody but Emery, but Emery was an absolute minority in putting Jameer higher than Bijan. And it played out exactly like he predicted. So we'll have him on this week. We also have a couple of mock drafts we're going to do. We're going to get the crew together. We got Russ. We got Bish. From Bishop Brown.
And they just did
Ash.
One.
Yeah,
they just
yeah, did yeah, one yeah. too. We got Ash too. We'll bring him on. We got Riz. So we'll mix and match some of the folks across the shows that we've got going on. And we'll do some mock drafting together and put some things together. As a matter of fact,
yeah,
talking about the multiple shows we got on, I just want to say, you know, best of luck to the guys at Pride over there. Vox, piece of shit company, you know, doing yes. what they did to all those pods. You know, we give them shit all the time, but nobody deserves to get hosed like that. And, you know, I talked about this before, you know, our position is a podcast. We're the longest running, you know, not the first one that was out there, but we've been going here almost 10 years now. I think we're close to being in our 10th year. And, I talked about, we made other podcasts better. We made other podcasts better because we forced them to be better. And Pod does that too, right? Those guys over at Pride do that too. They're competition, and good competition makes everybody better, makes the product get better across the board, and gives people more options. And that's, as a free market guy, that's what I'm all about, right? You never got an iPhone invented in China or in Russia or in Venezuela, right? It was the free market that got you the iPhone and the internet and all the other stuff that's changed the friggin' world, right? And it's the competition that made all those people create all those great things and make them better. So I mentioned on Twitter, I can give them all the tech platform they need. We got somebody who can even do edit and background work for them, and they can keep their brand. They don't have to be with our brand or anything. We can just give them a place to go and continue if they want. And it's like, you know, with all the ads that you got to do to keep the doors open, right? To make it valuable for the, you know, 20 hours a week you spend doing this stuff. We can open that for them completely and set them up if they want. I'm happy to do that just because
a lot of people,
they got screwed. And any of them, really, not just them, any of the guys over at Vox that have a pod, they need a platform. We've got the people in the background that can take away all the headache of the tech and let you take your brand and just create and run, right? And I'm happy to do it because I think it's important to have as many voices out there. And I think people that got screwed need a hand up. You know what I mean? They just need a hand up.
It's awful what happened to them, especially the ones whose podcasts predated being the SB Nation. I think of Bleeding Green Nation, the Eagles podcast. I love those guys. I know those guys, and they got completely screwed as well. And just as a general note, like, to do what we do, people that are in my position, people that do like Jeremy Reisman, Eric Schlitt, all of us, we do these because it augments our income. Quite frankly, we don't get paid a lot. So when we get a chance to do that, we do that. And they lost that as a revenue source. And that, you know, it's not a lot. I can tell you that from personal experience, but it's better than nothing. And now they're stuck with nothing. And that sucks, man. And it wasn't anything that they could control. Wasn't anything that they could do about it. And they got about an hour's notice.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a good friend of mine is much higher up the podcasting food chain there, and he lost his job, and it sucks. Yeah. And I hope that he lands on his feet somewhere soon. But for some people, it's going to be like the end of the line. Like, you know what? This just isn't an economically viable way to make a living. So I got to find something else, and it will be like my second job, my side hustle. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing football instead of doing it full time. And unfortunately, that's happened to several people that I know and greatly respect this offseason. I saw yesterday the NSL Network let Andrew Siciliano go. They let Will Selva go.
Isn't that crazy?
These are good people who have been good at their jobs for a long time.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. So my heart goes out to all the guys at POD who were affiliated with the podcast. It's y'all had a good product, and I hope that it resurfaces somewhere because, like Chris said, it pushes us to do better. Like, I will get complacent. I will admit that. I need the kick in the ass sometimes. So
yes, you do.
Come back strong and come back doing what you're doing. We'll be glad to welcome you wherever you are, and help you out in any way we can.
Yep,
100%.
So there you go.
No doubt.
Oh well, that's Vox. Sucks, I tell you. This is the first step. I'm telling you, just watch, folks. Just watch. This is just the first step. There's a consolidation hitting. There's a lot of companies right now that are going to be reverting to core business. So you see this, I think you're going to see a lot of this sort of thing in not just this industry, in multiple industries, because companies are going to have to shore up and focus on what generates the revenue for them. The interest rates, the free money that was flying around all the time for investment, people seem to be willing to lose. You know, the Draft Network is a great example. All that free money is just going away. Yeah. Is just disappearing, and it's going to continue to disappear as interest rates sit where they are. And I think this is, like I said, just the first step of a lot more to come in this space. And I think everybody is feeling the heat under their seat right now. And probably if they're not, they're not that smart about what's going on in the business they work in.
Just to go back to the Draft Network thing for a minute. That was done by my friend Arif Hassan, who is a victim of losing his job. He worked for The Athletic as a general NFL guy. They cut that. So now he's independent. He does his own Substack. It's wide left. It's worth your time because he did
Arif
that.
Is great.
He's working fantastic. On another one. I'm sorry. He was at Pro Football Network. He was not at The Athletic. He's got another one coming, and you will want to read it, and you will want to subscribe to the wide left. Even if you don't like Arif, don't like the Vikings, don't like his personal politics, he does a great job as an investigative reporter on this. He put hours upon hours into this, and my God, it's great. And it's if you haven't read it, please read it because it's really good. And as somebody who knew a lot of the people there, and somebody who said no to Paige DeMakos when she approached me, I'm glad I did. Glad I said Vox. No to Vox too.
Vox off. All right, let's get rolling here. Let's get into this draft. Riz, I have to say, like I said, the blood rushed out of my head when I saw your first round pick into my other head. This guy is my favorite from Senior Bowl, and I mean Luke McCaffrey was awesome. Some people in the Slack saw where he is on the Broncos draft board for a brief period when I had the picture up. I got a whole lot of pictures of the Broncos draft board. Anyway, this guy was absolutely fantastic. Not only just the interview we had with him, but just rolling up to the table while even in between other interviews or while we're doing interviews and waving in the background and stuff, just an absolutely fun dude. And like my wife said, the thing she loved about him the most was he's like, I'm just your old fashioned offensive lineman, right? He's offensive lineman. There's a personality. There's a type there. It's almost like goaltenders in hockey have like a certain affect about them, right? They're kind of weird dudes, right? Offensive linemen have an affect. I don't want to call them weird dudes, but they're different, right? They're a different breed. And this guy,
they're wired differently.
Yeah. This guy fits right in. He would be a freaking awesome Detroit Lion. His name, he's an inside linebacker from Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson. I love this guy. I absolutely
inside lineman. Inside interior offensive lineman.
That's what I meant to say. I just saw the letters and words came.
He's not a linebacker. Yeah. You know that. We know know him because we've gushed about him for repeatedly.
I'm looking at it on your IOL. Thing, IOL, and I'm like,
it's IOL.
Said words that made those letters work.
The new abbreviations because we get tired of deviating between guard and center, and in his case, it's good reason because he won the Remington Award, which I must explain. I do vote for that. That's the best center in the country. I am a voter. I voted for Jackson Bowers Johnson, and he won. The year before that, he played right guard, and he was named the best offensive lineman in the entire Pac-12 conference, playing guard. You know what that means? I mean, he's got a really high freaking floor at either position, and if it doesn't work out at center, he can move to guard. You know who else had that? Frank Ragnow! He is so perfect for this team. and Chris and I have talked about it in the past, we will continue to say, there might not be a better fit culture-wise, team culture-wise, for Brad and Dan than Jackson Powers Johnson in this entire draft at any position.
No, 100%. And for me, I love this guy. I fell in love with it. His personality, his interview was great. But like I said, outside, his like him yelling to us, my mom listened to the show. She loves it. Like, so great. He's such a cute guy. Like, I mean, I
saw every time he walked by. So one of the things that I do, I flash the peace sign as like a greeting and also as like a goodbye, like an acknowledgement. He picked up on, like, he flashed it to me twice.
He's tossing deuces at you.
Like, that's cool, man.
He's fantastic. Now I want to ask you, and you know, what the question is, how the hell does he get past Miami? How does he get to 29? Cause this guy seems
because
way,
the Dolphins are stupid.
sorry. That's funny. And it's not just you. I've seen a lot of people starting to mock him down to 29 where he was a lot higher earlier.
So I will tell you that there are three teams that you have to worry about drafting him: Pittsburgh Steelers, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Miami Dolphins. And those are, quite frankly, the only three teams above us that I can see taking him. They also happen to have other needs. And interior offensive line, to go by the position value, isn't as high as pass rusher, defensive tackle. Although you can make the argument that defensive tackle is the same. But I would say... And this is just spitballing the odds that it happens. Now, I do think that in general, and we've probably contributed to this, Chris, so we probably need to take a little bit of a mea culpa there. We've fluffed him up so much that we haven't necessarily brought up there are some, he does
porn star style.
I put that on the tee for you, buddy.
I'm sorry. I love this.
He does tend to overreach and lunge at times. He doesn't have the greatest balance through contact that you want to see from your center specifically, but also your guards. And he does hold some, gets uncalled a little bit. And there are whispers, and I don't know the extent of them, that he might not be 100% healthy. And Chris, you and I saw this at the Senior Bowl. He left after the first day with an injury that I believe it was his elbow that they talked about. I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
I don't remember. But he's had like the little nagging injuries throughout his career. Now, he's always played through them. But when you're talking about, like, okay, is he going to miss practice every Tuesday? Like, we got that now. We kind of don't like that with Frank Ragnow. I mean, obviously we love Frank, but it would be better if he could practice all the time. And why would you bring in somebody else who has a similar issue? I'm not saying that that's the case with Jackson Powers Johnson, but there are people who are higher up the draft media food chain than I who are suggesting that there might be some medical issues with JPJ. I don't know about them beyond what we just saw at the Senior Bowl and what we just talked about, but that is out there. And I can see the comment people already, oh, it's smoke. I think in general, and I'm making a broad general statement here, I think most fans think that a lot more smoke screening goes on than actually goes on, especially with teams like the Lions. And I'll tell you why, because Dan Campbell comes from Bill Parcells, and Bill Parcells' mantra was, I don't give one bleep what other teams think we're doing. We're going to do what we want to do, and you try to stop it later. We'll tell you what we're going to do, and you go and try to stop it. That's the sort of organizational arrogance that I want the Detroit Lions to have, and I think they're getting, and I like that. It's good.
I want fans to pick up on
that. Arrogance isn't always bad. What's that?
I want fans to pick up on that mentality, though. I really, really do.
Yeah.
That was that learned helplessness thing I was talking about. No. Just sack first, put it in the wheelbarrow and go. No, I like that.
I think he's
very much that way and of that mindset. But I'm going to go and I'll go back to what I said about him. He's also dumb like a fox, meaning he says things and he lets people think he's just this dumb jock meathead kind of guy. Right. But he's fantastically smart. By all accounts, the people that work with him know how smart he is. So he'll tell you, But it's not to say he's not wily about what he's saying. I mean, let's be fair. He's a smart cat who's playing. He's playing the game at 12D level, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but in general, there's a lot of things that fans will generally talk about is, oh, that's smoke. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, teams don't really care that much about what other teams are doing. And then there's the, so I'll do draft Mythbusters here. The other one is, well, they're going to draft him so we can't get him. Like, that is the most Bob Quinn way to run a team. Yeah, I'm gonna draft this guy so the 49ers don't get him with the next pick. Yeah. How freaking stupid are you to make a team like that? Like, now you've got a guy that you might not even want just to keep another team from getting him? Good teams don't operate that way. I won't say that no teams do.
Right.
But
because we did.
I don't think anybody really does that anymore. Maybe back in the 80s and 70s they did that sort of thing when the draft was 37 rounds and it took place on a Tuesday afternoon in a cigar-filled room.
Let me
that sort of thing happened.
Let me make an example. This is a gamer reference, but the skill gap is such that you can't do that. Right? You can't do that. The skill gap is wide enough that you can't sacrifice putting talent on your team so as to try to keep somebody else from getting that one piece of talent. It just doesn't work. You have to be getting the very best talent you can, because if you look at the difference between the haves and the have-nots in the NFL, there's a wide, wide gap. And it's coaching, of course. It's talent, too. You can't waste those opportunities, which is, I'll tie this back, the callback to Brock Wright, why I like paying him what we did and signing him like we did. I know you don't like the process, but I'm glad we have him, because now we can use that draft pick to add more talent. And it didn't hurt us in any way, shape, or form to match that for him. So this is it. I think when we think about how these teams work, this talent and the skill gap in the talent is something that you really, really have to think about and always be getting better. AGB. I don't know. Always get better. AGB. There you go. Always get better. That's all you can always do. Do not worry about any other team and what they're doing with your when you're playing this game. Can't do it.
Yeah. So all right. So that's JPJ, and I do think there's a pretty good chance that he will be there. Again, you got to watch the Steelers, the Cowboys, and the Dolphins. And maybe who knows what the Rams are going to do. They haven't had a first-round pick since Jared Goff. Like, what are they going to do with that? I don't know. They'll probably trade it.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll trade it to Detroit. Who knows?
Yeah. I know Fisk is a guy we interviewed as well that you told them didn't look too big. He wanted to crush you. It was so funny. You're like, no, you wear well. That's what I meant. Look at our
He did not look 295 pounds.
No, no, he doesn't. He doesn't. But you never say that to a guy then, man. You say that afterward. He's not there to crush your head like a pimple.
He was not thrilled with my comment at that. Thankfully,
that was our first interview. That was our first interview. It was at like 6:50 in the morning. I mean, to be fair. It was not ideal circumstances, and we're still getting warmed up there. Yeah. But I'll never forget it, Riz, because his face when you said that, I was like, "Uh oh." That's all I said is "Uh oh."
Fortunately, I wasn't that stupid that I was able to sense it. Like as I was saying, I'm like, "Oh shit, this isn't going over well." Like, okay, recovery mode.
Yeah, he's a guy. He's a guy that I could see bopping around there too. He's a good one, and I would not cry if the Lions took a
so
a
so let me go back to who I chose JPJ over, because I picked him over Xavier Leggett, a guy who we interviewed down in the wide receiver from South Carolina. I chose him over Darius Robinson, the defensive end from Missouri, who I do think the Lions have a very serious interest in. We'll see.
Interesting.
And I do think he will be there. I think his likelihood of being there is greater than what JPJ's is, although we're just talking about the Rams. I think Darius Robinson is a perfect pick for the Los Angeles Rams where they're picking. And that's a little higher than what you're going to see him, but where do you think Brad learned the DGAF about their value from? He came from the Rams. Like, yep. they don't either. Trust me on that. So that seems like Aaron Donald at 14 when people thought they were nuts that he was probably in the 30s because of his size, and it worked out pretty well for them. So,
all right.
Well, I wouldn't worry about the Rams if you're a Darius Robinson guy.
Jackson Powers
And there's Johnson. A whole host of cornerbacks that are in that range, too. Yeah.
Jackson Powers Johnson.
Welcome to Detroit.
There you go. All right, let's move on to the next one. Second round pick, we have Devontae Walker going for a wide receiver out of North Carolina, Riz. I like the idea. Reynolds departing. We haven't talked about that, but just so you know, Josh Reynolds is gone, folks. I think y'all know that by now. Picking up a wide receiver is good. And I don't want to say he's a big guy, but he's 6'1". He's got some size. He's got some speed. He might make a good addition to the team.
He is, if you liked Quintez Cephas but wanted Quintez Cephas to be a lot faster, you'll like Devontae Walker. Because he's the same size, basically, and kind of like the same similar skills. Having said that, I don't like this pick. Devontae Walker is not a top 100 player for me. But when you're doing these mock drafts, you got to go by what you think the teams are going to do. I know that the Lions have looked at Devontae Walker. They talked to him in Mobile. They talked to him in Indy. They were at North Carolina's Pro Day. Specifically, who they sent to North Carolina's Pro Day tells me that they have some interest in him. Do I know how much interest? I don't. But it wouldn't surprise me if he was their pick here. And I'm not a huge fan. He's a guy. He was at Kent State where he started, was pretty good there. And by the way, Kent State was really good his first year there. And he had a quarterback who I think is playing today in the UFL as we're recording this. They were a very good MAC team, and he did okay on it. He got screwed. He had some off-field, non-legal issues that kept him sidelined. He had trouble transferring. He didn't get declared eligible initially when he transferred to North Carolina. He got into North Carolina. He got hurt in like the second game. He played with Drake May, where you don't really know where the ball is going to be going. It was a
where nobody on the field knows where the ball's going.
the Drake May love astonishes. I don't get it, man. I don't. I'm sorry. I know people think that he's quarterback number one.
I'm including Drake in that nobody knows where the ball's going group, just so people understand.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of like Jake Locker to him, where like in theory Drake May, he looks like he's going to be a great quarterback, but has he ever been a great quarterback? No, not really. So with that. And I'll carry that. Like you're projecting that Tez Walker will be better in the pros than he was in college. I'm not prepared to do that, but I think that the Lions would be more willing to do that than I am with Tez Walker. And he does feel that Josh Reynolds' role of a bigger possession type receiver. He does offer you the ability to win over the top down the field. He's very good at contested catches. I don't like the fact that he has so many of them because he doesn't separate from coverage all that well. He does have some concentration drops. He does have some weird blocking, like, oh shit, I was supposed to block that dude. And he just blasted the running back on a sweep. Like, my bad. No, I don't like that, but, that can be taught. And he's, I will say this from interacting with people who know him well, he's not a dumb guy. He will get it. He will get coached and he will take it. And he will want to get better in the way that Jameson Williams wants to get better, but doesn't always necessarily realize how to get better. I think that's sort of where Tez is at. So this would be a pick that the Lions would make that I would not make. But you got to do that sometimes in mocks just to see how it goes. And in this range, I'm looking like safeties. You know, Jaden Hicks is certainly somebody who very much interests me out of Washington State. Tyler Newbin, I don't think will be there from Minnesota. He's probably the best safety. Cole Bishop out of Utah. I like him. I don't think the Lions are going to be super high on him just because he doesn't necessarily fit. He can only do one thing. He's like their box safety. Mm-hmm. So I think they want a little bit more versatility at the safety position, but I was looking there. Cornerbacks, again, you can get cornerbacks throughout this draft. Ennis Rakestraw, I do think will be there in this range. I'm just not a fan of his either. Mm-hmm. I'm just not. Chris Abrams was the better cornerback at Missouri, and I think he will be the better cornerback in the NFL too. And I would like the Lions to take him later, but they don't have a fourth round pick, and I think that's where he's going.
Yeah.
That was my thought process on settling on him there. And the offensive line group in this area, first off, I don't like using both the top two picks on the same position group. There were some tackles there. I think Kingsley Suamataia will be there at this range. Mm-hmm. If the Browns don't take him, I think he'll be there. And I do think that the Browns are.
Are you stunting on me saying his name? You remember at Senior Bowl?
The way he said it, though. Like, I don't want that guy mad at me either. No. So I'm going to say his name right, because he can squash me like a freaking grape. When I shook his hand, like,
he grabbed all the way up to your elbow.
Get this kick out of my neck.
He grabbed all the way up to your elbow, right? It's like, huh? My arm disappeared. He's a big
that man nice looked guy. Me in the eye and told me how to say his name. I'm going to respect that.
All right. Second round, we gets down. And that's an interesting pick, Riz, I tell you, because I don't know, as I'm sitting here thinking what I just like you, I've been running around what the boards you looked at were like, but cornerback feels like something that we'd be looking at pretty soon. But we get to the third round now.
I would hope so.
We get to the third round and we are looking for an edge, which is a good point of need. I think we're taking Braylon Trice out of Washington, a little bit of edge work going on. You're not a fan of his size or his athleticism. No. Let's talk about that. No. We're picking this guy in the third round. These are Brad Quinn's. We're in the money zone. Not Brad Quinn. What the frick did I say?
Brad Holmes.
Brad Holmes. Dude, I've been gone for too long. Brad Holmes this is where he earns his money. And does he really pick a guy who's not super athletic or undersized? Tell me about this.
Braylon Trice is an extremely accomplished pass rusher who is great at Washington. He played at about 255, 257 there as a primarily stand-up outside edge. He dropped to 245 for the combine, so he would be faster and quicker and all that, and he wasn't. So this is a guy who, early on in the process, I mocked him to the Lions once at number 31 overall. Not a chance now. He's just not that athletic. And at his size, like, that's not going to happen. But if you get him in the third round in the 70s, yeah, there's value there for him, because he is a very high motor, high football IQ, playing the run on the way to the quarterback, and he can still get to the quarterback type of guy. He's never going to be, I don't think, a 12-sack guy. But playing across from Hutch, he can get you 8. And he's going to have a pretty good PFF run score. And he is savvy enough that he can cover screens, can chip on a tight end if he needs to do. He can do all those things. Good football player, but not necessarily a good athlete. And you tend to get those guys in the middle rounds. And I think he would come in more impactfully than what Josh Pascal did as a second rounder. Now, Josh obviously had injuries going on. But I think he would insert into that rotation on the opposite side, and or also be a guy that comes in when they do give Hutch, you know, Hutch doesn't play. I think we tracked it was the second, fourth, and seventh series of every game he doesn't play. Like, they rest him, so or something like that. Some weird thing. I forget what happened.
Let me ask you. There's a question from the chat.
Somebody Peyton that tracked that? Maybe. Yeah.
There's a question from the chat. Ronan, is Nealon still there?
I don't think he's there for the Lions second. I think he's going in the 40s.
Okay.
I very strongly believe that, actually, after going to Western's Pro Day. And the way that he was talked about by the people that are there, I don't think he's there for the Lions in the second round. And if he is, he would make a lot of sense in the second round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. We're in the money rounds. We're past the fourth round now because we don't have one. Lament, sad. We have 2 6, though. Maybe we can turn that into a fourth.
We'll see. That's a temporary thing, though.
Yeah.
Having a fourth is temporary.
All these things are up for debate. All right, so we get to the fifth round. We have Sione Vaki, a safety out of Utah. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Oh, thank God.
Well,
Sione Vaki.
You gotta call him a safety, but he's also a running back and a linebacker and a return specialist.
Can he play corner?
He cannot. He is so much fun, and he is so. We justify or try to justify Will Harris's appearance on the Lions for his ability to play multiple positions as a depth player. Well, Vaki takes that to the extreme because he can be your number four safety and your number four running back at the same time.
That's so wild.
You keep him active and he can play. He has played quarterback before as a Wildcat. He can play as a as an undersized tight end fullback, H-back type, if you need him to. He's done that in his past.
So let's
he can play as a very lightweight, like nickel dime package linebacker, if you need him to. But he is at his best as a come down and smack your ass in the mouth safety.
But he's also a return guy. It could be and a coverage guy. He could like play every single play of the game, theoretically. He could be could be in every single formation and play all 60 minutes.
At the Senior Bowl, he played on both sides in the same drill on Wednesday of the Senior Bowl. He lined up as a safety in coverage, and then they moved him after he did two reps to the running back, and he ran routes against the guys that he was just with.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Whew, man, that's so many. It's crazy.
And he is... He's another one where if you spend 5 minutes with him, you're like, oh, he's cut from the Lions cloth. Like, no doubt about it. Like, not even a question. He is a Lions kind of guy.
Yeah.
And they have met with him. They met with him a lot in Mobile multiple times. They met with him at the combine formally. And he is doing a top 30 visit. I think he's actually coming in this coming week. So they are interested. Will he be there in the fifth round? That's the question. That might be one where you got to pair your fifth and your sixth to move up to go get him a little bit. But I would not surprise me at all if they loved him enough to do that.
Interesting. Okay. Well, this draft we did no trades. We did no trades, so we just kept our pants on. Let's get to the sixth round now. We move to the sixth round. We have two picks in the sixth. The first one, you say we go to Holy Notre Dame and get J.B. Bertrand out of there. He is a linebacker.
He's a football linebacker.
Yep. He's exactly the pick that you think we should get in the first round, but you believe Brad is going for in the sixth.
Yeah. He's kind of got an Alex Anzalone without the hair sort of play to him. He's not as athletic as Anzalone. But he's a good football player. I know Russ Brown likes him a lot. And I know that the Lions have spent a lot of time investigating him as well, including their Notre Dame's pro day. So he's one that I would keep my eye on. And as I wrote in the explanation, I don't want to read it, but I'll just stream of consciousness sit here. They're going to take players at positions that you might not think that they need or would address. That's what they do. It's not for you to like or dislike. It's for you to accept. It is. And he's a good football player. He's a very good football player. I think he's underappreciated. I know Russ thinks that way too. He's for me. So this is what in the 190 pick range, 170 something. He is in my top 125 overall players. I haven't looked at my thing in a bit. I gotta update that.
Wow.
My project for the rest of the weekend is finalizing my big board. But he's going to wind up in that like fourth round range for me in terms of like ordination. Good football player. And again, he's another guy. You can see the Lions liking him and putting him into that Antonio Pittman role, the role that they had Trevor Nowoski in. But they unfortunately lost him to Arizona. But they need that sort of depth linebacker. He could be that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Russ, and it's in your article. You have a great interview that Russ did at the Senior Bowl with JD. So it's worth, again, lionswire.com. It's right there on the front.
Russ likes him a lot. Yeah. I do too. But Russ, he's one of Russ's guys.
Russ's crew. We'll get Russ on. We'll talk to him about it. We'll peel his brain open. All right, the second six-round pick that you talk about is an offensive tackle, Travis Glover out of Georgia State. I'm not seeing a whole lot of cornerbacks here, Riz. Making me worry. But let's talk about Travis. 323-pound, 6'6" monster.
He is a mauler. He is in the Street Fighter playing offensive tackle type of guy. If you're somebody who likes Tyler Guyton earlier, if you're somebody who likes Sua Mataia earlier, you're probably gonna like what you see in Glover. He came into the Senior Bowl as a replacement on the second day, and literally like landed and went straight to the stadium, put cleats on, and like went out there, and he had like 10 minutes to like, hey coach, this is who I am. I play tackle. Play me, please. And did okay for himself. Has some very good tape. 57 career starts, all at tackle. Now, Georgia State, bit of a gimmicky offense, like not direct translation to the NFL, but there are some things that you can work with there. And again, the Lions, nobody on this draft is starting as a rookie. And by the way, I think no matter who they draft, I don't think anybody starts week one as a rookie this year, no matter who or where they draft them. There aren't any spots that need to be filled. Now, if somebody usurps somebody that's already in the spot, good. But that because they want it, but they don't have to draft starters here. So this is a pick. You're drafting your number three offensive lineman with the hope that he can develop in a year or two when either Taylor Decker moves along or Penei Sewell moves along if for some reason they don't get an extension done, which is just absurd. But they need a number three tackle, and he is better than Matt Nelson coming in.
Yeah,
that's an upgrade right there. He's a better tackle prospect than what you would get out of Dan Skipper if Dan Skipper had to get thrown in there. This is the range. I know it's around later, but this is the sort of range where they took the flyer on Colby Sorsdahl a year ago.
Yeah.
Glover is better equipped to play in the NFL early than what Sorsdahl was.
Yep.
To put it on that sort of comparative spectrum.
Okay. All right, let's get to the coda of your draft. Ooh, a little bit of music, a little alliteration there. Beanie Bishop, West Virginia.
Yeah.
Cornerback, finally, Riz, you did it for me. You've solved all the world's problems here with Beanie.
He'd like that.
24 pass defenses Beanie. In 23. Let's talk about him. And yeah. a fast fella. The guy's got some speed.
Real fast.
Yeah.
In fact, he was the fastest guy in the Big 12 at their recent pro day combine thing. So quick diversion on that. The Big 12, they didn't have pro days this year. All the schools pooled together and held what's basically a combine at the Star, which is the Dallas Cowboys training facility, over 2 days. And they had Zebra Technologies, who does all the GPS and all that RF signal transmitter. They're the people that can spot the ball accurately, and the NFL won't do it.
No. The NFL won't do it. I just want to make sure we're clear. It's not Zebra that won't do it. Yes. They'd be happy to do it. Zebra makes Amazon run their warehouses too, just so you know. I mean, they got this stuff on the lock.
They know what's going on. That's a fun company to research, actually.
Yeah, I feel like
he ran 23.49 miles per hour. That was the fastest guy in the Big 12 at the combine, at their pro day / combine thing. Only one other player, TCU safety Mark Perry, who, by the way, won an NCAA track championship while at Colorado, was the only other player that topped 23 miles per hour. So you're looking at a guy that can really fly, and he's got great ball skills. So why are we getting him in the seventh round? Because he's a 5'9" outside corner who doesn't really play man all that well. And I know that that's a flaw in taking him for a team that's going to play a lot of man, but I don't think he's going to play a whole lot on defense. I think he's going to play on special teams, and he is a great return man. Punt returner, kick returner. The Lions need that, depending on what happens with Khalif and whether they want him to play more wide receiver because Josh is gone and he's stepping up in that role or whatever. Beanie offers a lot of that. And if you do put him in, he can get the ball. Look, he's got the great speed. He's not the most instinctive guy in coverage. He needs to be one of those guys that's in zone. He needs to be play in zone so he can see what the quarterback is doing. But the other flip side of that, he's really good against mobile quarterbacks, and he's great at open field tackling. And it will come up and get involved in the run. I won't say that he's aggressive in the run, but he will get involved. And as a seventh round pick, he's got a shot at doing that. I lament, like most of you do, the fact that the Lions don't have a big cornerback. Although Carlton Davis is probably bigger than you suspect he is. I see people saying that he's 5'. He's a legit 6'1", folks.
So's Fisk.
And he's Fisk. Over 200 pounds.
Fisk is a big guy, too. Just so you know. There's some consternation with your pick of Trice. Sorry, I couldn't. Jalix Hunt is coming up as the guy they like instead of Trice.
Get him here. He's not going early. If he goes before the fifth round, I'd be shocked. That's way too early for him.
There you go.
Coming out of Houston. It used to be Houston Baptist. Now I think it's Houston Christian. I think they changed their name too. He's a good prospect. And I got to meet his dad in Mobile, and his dad was a cool guy. So nothing against Jalix Hunt, but I don't think the NFL sees him anywhere near that range. That would be one of those that would be considered a very big reach. Even by the people who don't know a lot about the prospects, that's asking a lot out of Jalix Hunt.
Yeah. Yeah. A bunch.
I think he's fifth, sixth round, is where he's going to wind up coming off.
Yep. People think you should take him in the third. Brad Holmes has something to say about that. He says
Brad Holmes might take him in the third. You never know. Brad does what Kirby Joseph was a guy who I would have said, I can't believe he's going in the third round. I think he's a fourth or a fifth round guy. And Lance took him in the third. So far, pretty good. Seems to be working out okay.
Yeah. Did you hear what Brad said? He said, come on, damn it, play.
Up out my face, goddammit. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Don't play with me. You better find you a goddamn toy.
That's what he said about Hunt in the third.
Wow. That's very optimistic for Jalix Hunt. Very optimistic. And I'm saying that as wearing the draft wire hat and not a Lions wire hat. That's, I don't see that one.
God.
Other edges that could go in that range? Let me look at my little big board, because I haven't done that in a little bit. I do. Again, the rest of my weekend is working on my final big board. I like to get those out before I know Dean Brugler's Beast is coming out soon. I like to have mine done before his, so people don't think that I copied off of
him. No, it's a good point. Because like there's a whole bunch of big boards that come out after his.
There are. Austin Booker is a guy who could be in that range. Jonah Ellis, son of Luther, is a guy that I would could see in that range.
Yeah, yeah. And
Murphy out of Detroit UCLA, connection, if he's there.
The Detroit connection is not something to be ignored. Let's be honest. I mean, the team loves that kind of thing. They love that kind of story, and it does play into their calculus. I mean, all the other stuff has to be there, but that connection to Detroit, they kind of get a sense that he just might be more of a Detroit Lion, and that's a big question they ask. Is this man a Detroit Lion? So that's just didn't want to let that slide by. Yeah.
Yeah. Booker, if you're looking for a guy with some upside that didn't produce a lot in college, he's a guy. Gabe Murphy, let me look. I have Mohamed Kamara a little above that. I don't think he's going to go that high, though. Brennan Jackson out of Washington State. I'm higher on him than most people. Brandon Dorless. Brandon Dorless is already on the roster. His name is Josh Pascal. They are literally the exact same size. And I don't know what you do with Dorless in the NFL, just as I'm not sure that we have figured out yet what to do with Josh Pascal. I mean, I liked Pascal a lot, and I think he's a good football player, but I don't know where he maximizes his position, and I think that Dorless is going to have the same issue, even though I kind of have him in that range too.
Yeah.
So those are the edges that I would be looking at as being available in that third round range. Gabe Murphy would be an interesting one. I know the Lions have spent a little bit of time looking at him. I don't know how they feel about him, but I know they've at least sniffed up that skirt.
I'm just letting that sit there for a second. All right. Risen's mock draft walk. Check it out at Lions Wire. You see all the detail on each player that Riz has for this mock draft. We'll have a series of mock drafts with members of the DLP team. Again, we got our Russ, we got our Bish, we got our Ash, we got Riz. Hey, maybe we'll even get Dr. Leo out there. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. He might do our injury draft.
We might need to call on him.
Yeah.
If they draft certain players.
100%.
Yeah, and this Rakestraw being one of them. Why does he get hurt all the time? I do actually, and maybe Dr. Leo, I know you watch. If you could address with guys who have continual soft tissue injuries and compare that to like a guy like Stafford, he was Glass Stafford for a while.
Yeah.
Because he got hurt a lot early. Stafford. But all of his things were broken bones that are like freak injuries. If you could compare and contrast the severity and recovery and likelihood of re-injury on something like a core muscle surgery, which Ennis Rakestraw had, or a torn ACL, which Ennis Rakestraw had, versus a broken thumb or a broken wrist or a separated shoulder getting fixed, I would appreciate that because I have a pretty good idea on that, but there are some things that would be better served from coming from somebody who actually has like certification that they know what they're talking about.
Doc, bring it for us. Yeah. Bring it for us.
If you can't tell, I'm way the hell out on Ennis Rakestraw. I don't want the Lions to take him. Doesn't mean that they won't. Doesn't mean that they don't like him, but soft tissue injuries and inexperience because of it scares me. I'm not there on that. He reminds me a lot of Chris Greenwood, quite frankly. How'd that go?
Ooh, wow, good one. Good pull there. All right. I think Riz.
Sorry for the Rakestraw fans.
Yeah, it's okay. I think we've had our show today. It was good to get back together.
We did a live show.
It was good to get back together. I really appreciate that. Big thanks to Ash, Bish and Brown, even Dr. Liao, even you, Riz, putting some single stuff together. Hour-long pieces of just the Riz rapping. It was good stuff, and I appreciate it. The whole team pulled together. Again, this was a tough month for me, standing up a global
thank you all for watching.
It's a big deal. Appreciate you guys for doing the great work you do. That's one of the best things about this DLP thing is how we've got such a good crew to really cover for each other. And even when I'm down and for the count, you guys are still there. So love you all, man. But thank you all. For the folks that are watching, listen, thank you so much. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Also on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get access to the Slack chat, the insider chat with Riz, myself, and all of the DLP crew. It's a great place. We're talking football. And as we get close to the draft, it's going to heat up. And then as we start talking through OTAs and all that kind of stuff, it's great. It's one of those things that like everybody knows about. And I mean, Brad Holmes, if you don't sign up for the Slack, he tells you.
Better back the fuck up out my face, goddammit. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Don't play with me.
So there you go. You better get in that Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Also follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast.
I can't get enough of that.
I can't get enough of that, man. It is so fantastic. It's my favorite video in so long. That guy, I love that man. I don't know who he is. I want to meet him. I love that guy. Follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast and at Jeff Risden. At Jeff Risden. Good stuff there. That's where all the action's at. We'll know about the show, what's going on, when we're playing, when we're not, all that kind of stuff. Also, be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast. And if you do, well, we're going to say, if you don't
back the fuck up out my face, goddammit, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Don't play with me.
That's what's going to happen. So you better subscribe. There, I saved you. Or what happens if you do subscribe, Riz?
I get to come into your ear holes automatically, and I'll be gentler than that guy.
Oh, man. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time with the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, and no problems. So you better back the fuck up. Because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit Connection. Appreciate you folks for putting up with us. Thank you.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.